Let me go to Tamika. Hi, Tamika.
Hi, Amos. Thank you.
What's up?
I just wanted to know, have you heard about the mess going on at Martin University today?
Wait a minute. There's mess at Martin University?
Yes, sir. There is mess at Martin University.
All right. Wait a minute. Is it serious enough that we need to call Olivia Pope?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
So it's scandalous.
It's scandalous. All right, yes. Wait a minute. Let me get out here. Abdul and I might be able to write a script for Scandal and get paid real well. So tell us what's going on.
Well, they have terminated lots of people today. A lot of people who have not been happy with the administration at Martin University. With no explanation to the students whatsoever. A lot of the people who, like I said, have been terminated have either bumped heads or disagreed with the administration and some of the things that have been going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't talked about. They have dismantled the student services department. They have gotten rid of professors. And guess what? The semester's not even over.
Well, wait a minute. Let me back up. You said there's a lot. What is a lot? Are we talking 5, 10, 15, 20, 25,
30?
19. 19? Ooh, that does sound like a lot. So let me wait. So we 19 people.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of these are staff people and some are professors?
Yes.
Were any of these professors like full professors that supposedly have tenure?
Yes, all of them.
Wait, all the professors?
Terminal degree.
Well, wait, hold it a
minute. Well, terminal degree doesn't necessarily mean tenure.
Tenure is something where that a university, you know, says to a faculty member, you've been here a while, you've met our standards for tenure, and the only way you get to leave this campus is you really got to do something crazy.
Martin University, to my knowledge, does not have tenure in placement for their professors.
Okay.
But the professors that they got rid of have been there for years.
It's also unusual if you go to any university or college in this country. There are members of the faculty, whether they are brand new members of the faculty or whether they have been there forever and have tenure, who criticize the administration. That's just part of a university. Professors like to criticize. That's what they do.
Well, they've gotten rid of people that have criticized the administration. And I know because I've heard you talk about it on your show about our financial aid issue. Well, they've gotten rid of all of our financial aid department with the exception of two people.
Now, let me ask you a question. How did all this come about? Were these folks just given notice saying, hey, your services are no longer needed, or was it just happened today, you're all fired, or can you tell us how it all went down?
From what I understand, they were told today in a mass meeting.
So they invited all 19 of them in and for a quick hello and goodbye?
Yes.
That's usually not how you do it unless you're doing reductions in force and you're laying off a certain percentage of staff.
And that was going to be my next question is this a budgetary, or did they say why they're all being let go, or?
They're saying that this is budgetary. But this is a university and we realize that there are budget cuts that need to take place. But there has to be a strategy as to how you come up with those budget cuts as well. You don't take your professors in the middle of the semester. We just had issues with students who in our early childhood development program, we lost professors and they weren't able to finish up their degrees. Now you take one of their only two master's programs, you take the chair of that program and you fire him. And again, you have over 30-something odd students who are not even finished with their courses, and they don't have anybody in place for those students to work with to complete those courses. So there's a way to do things. We're in financial aid troubles. We're still on HCM2 status, and you get rid of your entire financial aid department.
And here's the thing that just confuses me. It's one thing if you're having budgetary issues, you tell people, all right, at the end of the semester, you may no longer be here because we're just kind of across the halfway point. But to get rid of, you know, a dozen and a half we'll say, you know, 10 were faculty. You know, these people still got classes. You know,
exactly.
Kids still got to come to school. So are the classes going to be canceled now, or the students going to have to find another professor? Let me ask you this.
Or are they going to give all the students, if they cancel the class, give them all an A?
Yeah. Now has Dr. White made any public statement to the faculty in the university to do any sort of damage control? Has John Bartlett, you know, showed up anywhere
they had a meeting and told us that there were going to be some job cuts.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell us what areas they were going to cut or how they were going to do it. They did tell us, Dr. White told us that there were going to be job cuts. When I talked to our student government president this morning, she had no idea. She wasn't made privy to who was going to be cut either, or how they were going to assist students with the remainder of the semester. She hasn't been given that information. And there's a lot of that going on where our student government is in place, but they're never given any information. Like when they hired Dr. White, the student body found out the same time or 15 minutes before the general public found out.
Well, now that's actually normal. You know, at least with getting 15 minutes advance warning is more than sometimes happens out in the real world. You would not necessarily get 1, 2, or 3 days advance warning on something like that.
Right. Well, I just think that they would have done a little bit better as far as how they've done today with cutting all these positions. And again, our semester's not over. You know, we're still on HCM2 status. We were told that the department that reviews our financial aid was on furlough because of the government shutdown. But now they're back to work, but there's nobody to work in our financial aid department.
It seemed to me you would not get rid of the entire financial aid department. Somebody would have to answer those questions.
Right, because you still got people applying for next year.
Or who still you have questions about, you know, the aid that you're getting or the Pell Grants and those kind of things.
Well, at this point, there's a lot of students that are in my class, and it was a couple of our professors that got terminated today, and a lot of them are not wanting to go back to class the remainder of this semester or to sign up for next year because of all the mess, the back and forth that has been going on in Martin University.
You know what?
This is a scandal episode.
Oh yeah, and I am trying to find out. Ames, you deal with Martin folks better more than I do. Who's their media spokesperson?
What media spokesperson?
There you go,
Drew.
Drew, to get Martin University on the phone.
You looking for a job? Now, I'm sure there are responsible officials from Martin University who are listening to the program right now. Our number is 239-1310. You can email us at praiseity.com. You can send us a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. It's Amos and Abdul for a Friday. And the President of the United States has just nominated a Morehouse man to be the new Secretary of Homeland Security. His name is J, that's spelled J-E-H, like P, Johnson, a brother. Unless this guy is the only white student that ever graduated from Morehouse. But looking at the pictures, I think it's a brother.
But now nobody can complain that it's a conspiracy anymore.
That's right. He's in charge of Homeland Security, keeping the homeland safe. Same as an Abdul after these. 239-13, tell me, go back to the phones, and Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, I was calling in to see how to go about what we need to do in reference to what happened at Martin University today.
So now you tell me.
Our teachers are fired in our administration, and it's clearly the middle of the semester.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is this number that we heard from a previous caller, 19, is that correct, or is it your understanding that it's less than that or more than that?
It could be more than that. We know that it's at least 19.
And were you personally affected by some of these professors who have retired at an early age?
Yes.
Have they given you an indication as to what will happen with your class? Are they going to give you all automatic A's?
No.
What are they going to give you?
They have. We don't know. Class is still in session. We have no idea what's going on.
So were any of these professors that were supposed to teach this afternoon?
One of them does, yes.
So what
I know does.
So what happened in their class?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Students probably came to class after 10 minutes. They got them saying, hey, professor, not here in 10 minutes. Friday!
Friday.
Yeah.
Wow.
We really don't know what to do. We've had a change in our presidency, and Eugene White is over there now. We've seen a familiar trend happen with IPS, so I don't know if that's who's responsible. I'm not totally positive.
Y'all didn't bring IPS up in this. Oh Lord. Let me ask Abdul a question since he one of the 5,000 jobs that he has here. He has 5,000 jobs, that's why unemployment is so high nobody else can get
one. Can't find a job in town.
What is the policy at Ivy Tech if a professor leaves for whatever reason in the middle of a semester?
Usually what will happen is, because I teach in the speech communications department, they will send out a notice to the immediate faculty and anybody who hasn't maxed out on their course load. They'll tell us, hey, Dr. So-and-so can't finish because of personal reasons. Is there anybody there here who can pick up the slack and take his or her class for the rest of the semester? And usually there are enough of us in the pool that somebody can sort of pinch in and fill in. You got to do a little bit of adjustment because you got to figure out where you were versus where they were and kind of keep things consistent
now,
that
Ivy
way.
Tech has a large faculty.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking Martin University that does not have a large faculty. Shouldn't there seem to me there would need to be some kind of policy?
Or at least have an adjunct or somebody on standby who mm-hmm. can, pinch in right. and step in. I don't know what Martin University's adjunct faculty pool is right now, particularly because of all the weird changes with the Affordable Care Act and how that affects part-time faculty across the country.
Somebody may be listening and may not know what an adjunct faculty is.
Adjunct basically means you teach part-time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fancy word for part-time. You don't teach a full course load, which could be four or five classes. You're more like two or three or just one.
So what happens if a class at Ivy Tech, they can't find anybody, there's no part-time adjunct professor, do the students then have the right to withdraw without prejudice, to withdraw with credit?
Actually, I've never had that happen. There's always somebody looking to pick up something mm-hmm. somewhere because the pay is actually not bad for what you have to do. So mm-hmm. you'll find somebody or the department will just have one of the full-time faculty members. Hey, guess what? Welcome to other duties as assigned. You're picking up this XYZ class.
Okay.
And that's why I'm just sort of shocked and surprised that Martin University would get rid of at least, like you said, 19 faculty and staff people with no plan to, how do you fill these positions? How do you take care of class for the semester? But then again, this is Dr. White at the helm, so none of this really surprises me.
Yeah, but he just got there.
But still.
Is it reasonable
to
think
ship.
That he just got
aye,
there?
Aye, Captain. It's all yours. And you couldn't have done this without you signing off on it.
Absolutely.
And where's John Bartlett? Is he the president of the University Board?
He's the president of the board.
So where's John? John showed up for Senate Bill 621 that nobody cared about. No, here's something that's actually affecting real African-American students. Their education's in jeopardy. Shouldn't John be on the phone right near? They call up any other day and start mouthing. Also, John, where are
right.
you?
Exactly.
All right.
And our tuition payment is amongst the highest for community colleges in the city of Indianapolis, and we're going as a student body. We don't support this. We do not support this at all, and we're more concerned about our education.
Well,
today
now wait a minute.
We've ever been.
Well, now hold on, student body, because I'm gonna put some of the weight on you. If the football team at Grambling could stand up and not go to their practices for 3 days in a row to protest what they felt were some unfair conditions going on at their university, what are y'all gonna do?
We're trying to develop a protest. Not all of the students are know as of yet. A bulk of us come at night because, of course, it's adult education, so a lot of people do work during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely considering striking, for sure.
Okay.
Because we have no one to speak for us, so to speak. They kind of just make decisions. They never ask the students' opinion. They just do what they want to do. and then tell us that this is what we did and we're just basically supposed to deal with it.
I hear the word strike.
My late 60s and early 70s is coming back.
So are you saying then, because I want to make sure I read you correctly, that you folks are willing to get enough of your students together, fellow students, and literally shut down the university until you get some answers?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's about to go out on Twitter.
Yes. We're willing to do that. We have to get people to cooperate. Like I said, everybody doesn't know that this is what happened.
Are the ones that know? Are you guys getting on Facebook? Are y'all getting on Twitter and treating this right now? have y'all got a Twitter hashtag you're using?
We just basically put what actually has transpired and start tagging each other. So it's getting out there slowly but surely.
All right. So you haven't got, no, I'm giving that signal. There we go. We're trying to multitask here today.
Actually, I just gave you a hashtag.
Uh-oh,
I called it Martin Mess.
Martin Mess.
There's your hashtag.
So that'll be really
easy for everybody to find out exactly where you guys are right now. Because this, as somebody who knows exactly how important higher education is, particularly for folks who are trying to get it. Looks like we got the big guy on the telephone.
Hold on, all y'all, with Martin University. Let's talk to the interim president of Martin University, Dr. Eugene White. Doc, how you doing?
Hey, good, Emma.
So what's going on over there?
Emma, one of the things that the faculty, staff, and students here are aware of was that we had to adjust the budget because it was in a deficit situation. It was that way because they really overcounted the student enrollment figure for the fall semester, and everyone was aware that this adjustment was going to occur, even though they did not know exactly who would be impacted by it. It's across all of the employee groups from administration, faculty, and staff.
Mm.
And all of the positions, Amos,
okay,
were vetted. So all of those classes are covered. We've talked to the students and promised them that none of their education will be compromised by this particular adjustment. It's something that we didn't want to do, but we had to do it. And we have, I think, been as professional and as fair as we could overall with this. It's a tough thing to do, but those adjustments had to be made.
Dr. White, let me ask you, first of all, let me kind of separate this because we're hearing staff and faculty. Can you tell us how many were laid? First of all, these are layoffs, correct?
These are terminations, Amos, and quite frankly, if we increase our enrollment, these people have been told that they will have an opportunity to reapply for positions,
mm-hmm,
and there were 16 in all.
Okay.
We're talking about.
And were the majority of those staff or faculty? What's the mix between the two?
The mix is higher on faculty than probably anywhere else, Amos. We have administrators, faculty, and staff, but it's probably a higher mix on faculty.
And what will happen to the courses that those faculty were teaching? Who will pick up that slack?
I think your colleague was very, very astute on answering that. We have professors who will pick up some. We have adjunct staff that will pick up some. But we will not compromise our students' education because of this reduction. Now, we met with students last week to make sure that they understood that, so there will be no surprises in that particular regard.
So students who are calling and saying they didn't know were told in advance that this was going to happen?
Yes, they were told in advance. They were told in advance by me, Amos.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the first meeting I had with them, I told them we had to make those adjustments in the budget and the staff. And the last meeting I had with them, I went over that very, very clearly with them again. Now, the students who's calling, maybe they didn't attend the student meeting that we had, but yes, they were told.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Ames and Abdul on the Friday. We're with Dr. Eugene White, the interim president of Martin University, who is confirming that 16 staff and faculty were terminated from the university today.
If Dr. White, you and I have had our differences of opinion, but I understand your position as a university president. Two questions. Number one, how much does this save Martin University, the total of these 16 layoffs? What sort of budget shortfall? And I guess the question is, why were, I know a lot of times if a class doesn't have enough of an enrollment, the class is canceled before students enroll early on. Was there any of that put out to students, say, hey, you know, this class may not necessarily go through if it doesn't necessarily have the enrollment because we don't have the student population that we do?
Abdul, let me start with your first comment. No, you and I have not seen eye to eye on many things, and your little low shot about IPS is totally unsubstantiated. You really need to be a little more objective if you're going to address what I did for IPS. When I came in, Abdullah, the semester had started. These particular adjustments had to be made, so no students did not get a chance in terms of classes having a certain number to carry. Those are procedures you normally would have, and those are procedures that we will definitely have in place. But no, they did not have that type of adjustment made to start the semester. In terms of the exact amount, we won't deal with that in public, but it was the overage that we had in deficit was close to over $600,000. This will get us closer to getting online with that, Abdullah, and we're going to be as fair as possible to everyone in this process because it's a very, very difficult process. We didn't want to do it. These people love Martin University. They put a lot into this university. So this is not a cavalier thing. This is a serious undertaking. And that's why we were very, very clear in our communication to the faculty, administration, staff, and to the students, because we do want to be as open as possible.
Is some of this problem the same kinds of problems that Howard University is undergoing and some other HBCUs where dollars were cut because of cuts in the budget because of the sequester, or is this people thought there was going to be X number of students in this school year and it didn't pan out that way?
The latter comment is more appropriate for us, Amos. Martin University is like many small colleges and universities. We are almost totally dependent on our enrollment numbers. And so you really have to get that number right, else you could really be compromised. And so as a result, that number was not right. We overestimated that situation substantially. And so those adjustments had to be made. If Martin, and I think you know our beloved founder of the university, Father Hart, and I'm sure you knew him. Mm-hmm. He was a great guy, and he was the reason that I took this assignment because he put his heart and soul into this university. But one of the things they did not do, Amos, they did not create the financial kind of foundation to support the university. So student enrollment numbers are the primary source of income, so there's no endowment, foundation funds, or operating type of balance to support shortfalls, and so this had to happen.
I know when I pulled the record, the federal income tax 990 form from Martin University from GuideStar.org. It covered the period July 2011 through June 2012. That's the last public information that we're able to see. We saw that the university had a slight surplus of about $130,000 to $150,000. It sounds like what you're saying is in the fiscal year the university is in now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you guys use a July through June fiscal year. This, it was looking very early that the university was going to be upside down. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say that they were looking at probably a deficit situation. And there are other factors involved in that too, Amos, that I'm not at liberty to discuss. But yeah, it was going to be very, very tight from the beginning. You asked me earlier about the breakout of the 16 total.
Yeah.
And that was seven faculty and nine staff members.
One of the charges that a previous caller made was that the, in their words, the entire financial aid department was shuttered. Is that correct?
No. As a matter of fact, financial aid department is in great shape. We had one person in that particular area that was involved in the cut, but the financial aid department will be able to function very efficiently. There shouldn't be any compromise to that function at all.
So how do you deal with student morale, Dr. White? Because you know as well as I do at colleges, universities, you know, particularly at a place like a Martin University that is so heavily dependent, as you said, on school enrollment, because Martin doesn't have an endowment like a Marion or an IU or Purdue, how do you keep these kids from saying, you know what?
Or these adults.
Or adults, come January, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Well, I think part of what you have to do, Abdullah, is establish a relationship with the young people so they can understand just what the university is experiencing and how they can help the university. And what we've tried to do since I've been here is to eliminate the concerns they had about poor communication internally in the university. And part of that is why we have the meetings with them. We will have monthly meetings with the faculty and staff and also monthly meetings with the students so that we can answer their concerns. Hopefully, better communication will help. The other thing that will help would be efficiencies in dealing with student financial aid and other concerns that should come up. But we think that we will be able to get them to believe in what we're attempting to do for the university. And it takes performance. You can't talk your way into this. You can't talk your way out of this. This is something that is going to take performance on the part of faculty, staff, and administrators so they can really believe in what we're saying. And I've been very open, Abdullah, with everyone. And I will continue to be open, and we will be transparent, and we are all here to make sure they get a quality education, and that's what we're going to get done. And they will be able to see that based on our performance, and that's what we're asking them to look at. Now, second semester, we would hope that they will continue their program, and if they do, they will see all the things I'm talking about. But you have to work your way out of this. You can't talk your way out of it. Because people have had enough talk. But what we assure everyone, Abdullah, is that in spite of the cuts that we've had to make, that our operations will be efficient, that we will be able to carry on all of the functions that we've had up to now. As a matter of fact, we intend to increase the proficiency and the efficiency of operation of the institution. So we're going to promise them that. And we're definitely going to have a venue for them to communicate with me directly. And we're going to make sure that we kind of walk the talk so they can believe in what we're saying at Martin.
Dr. White, what you might want to do is, get somebody over there and update your Twitter account, which I'm looking at, I believe it's the Twitter account for Martin University. Somebody set it up 372 days ago. That's the last tweet, 371 days ago. So it seemed to me somebody's got to get on social media quick, fast, and in a hurry because it sounds like with the financial condition of Martin, y'all can't afford to hire Olivia Pope. I tell you what,
Amos, one of the first things we did was to kind of survey the faculty, staff, administration, and students, and we asked them to tell us two things that were great about the university that they wanted us to keep. We asked them to tell us three things that they had concerns with and give us some recommendations for improving them, and then looking at the concerns, like I said, the internal, external communication was a concern. And part of that was the website and the social media components. So we will be working on that, and I don't think that that situation will continue, Amos.
All right, he's the interim president of Martin University, and to summarize, 16 individuals were terminated today from Martin University. Seven faculty and nine staff, and the remaining faculty will pick up the slack on those courses that those faculty members were teaching, and then this is for budgetary reasons because somebody thought there were going to be a certain number of students, and they didn't show up through the door.
That's exactly right.
And the only difference is Martin University can't go and run to the state legislature and get some money. Well, no, it's just like your former job. If the kids aren't there, you don't get the money.
Well, unlike my former job, we don't have a tax source to go to, Amos. We have to raise our own money.
That's a good point. Dr. Eugene White, the interim superintendent. President of Martin University. Thanks very much for being with us. 239-1310, 239-1310. I'm sure folks got reaction to what they just heard.
And a number of our friends in the media have been picking up our Twitter feeds and sending it up all over the place.
Uh-oh!
So don't be surprised if Channel 6 stops by Martin University this afternoon to find out what the heck's going on.
It may be the TV trucks are warming up. They're racing with the cameras. A story other than who's going to win the football game on Sunday. Emerson Abdul after these.
Okay.
And because the station shines the light through the word and music, Abdul and Dr. White, the most civil conversation they've had in 7 years. Let the church say amen.
You know what? If Republicans and Democrats, my moderate Republicans and Democrats, can work out a budget deal, if Maggie Lewis and Greg Ballard can come together, Dr. Eugene and I, we can be civil to each other for at least 8 minutes.
All right. There we go. Washington could learn from this. Speaking of Washington, Tuesday on the show, Senator Joe Donnelly will be here live in our first hour. Monday, Beth White, the county clerk, will be here live in our second hour.
That's going to hire 100 people in the central county.
Actually, we'll talk a little bit about the absentee ballot mess, but we're going to talk more about what does the community want in terms of the next generation of voting machines. Are we ready and will be comfortable to accept all electronic, or do we still need voting machines that have some paper involved in it? I think I'm going to vote for the
and after, are the rumors true that Evan Baia is going to give her money for a Secretary of State's race?
Evan who?
Yeah, exactly.
Evan who? We don't care about
that. That's the rumor.
And on Monday after next, October 28th, in our 1 p.m. hour, from the State Board of Education, the representative of the 7th Congressional District, Dan Elsner, will be here with us live.
My good friend Dan.
And we'll ask him, what you got against Glenda? We'll ask him nicer than that, but that's basically what it is.
And, ask him about some of the Glenda supporters sending very hateful anti-Catholic emails.
And we'll tell him that. He's also the president of Marion University, great university. Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, I was called. Actually, I heard that White, and yeah. I just called a rebuttal. He is correct about the 16 people. Mm-hmm. The areas that was cut was career services, alumni affairs, and academics, faculty, retention too, and financial aid. There was 4 people cut in financial aid office.
Okay.
The fact that he said that they did have a meeting, that he addressed it, that those people will be let go, about 19 at that moment, but in the when he had the meeting with the students, he gave them a date, which was today. So kind of like the faculty and staff were surprised that it was coming so soon because we didn't get a notification that it would be today.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of, the ones that kind of stuck around for the student addressing, they found out then.
So there was a there was a meeting today with students?
No, there wasn't a meeting today with students. The meeting today was that the people got to know who was leaving.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing about when he said that he got information from faculty, staff, and everybody, one thing he didn't mention is faculty and staff did say administration was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been under Dr. Miller, too. The administration has been a problem. There's been no fundraising. There is advancement person that's been getting paid to raise money. She hasn't raised any money. She can't even work the system. We have a CAM system. She doesn't even know how to work that system. And those people that was under her, they quit. And that person came under Dr. Miller. And as for HR, For years, Father Hardin had HR director. That person has advanced to VP, and now she's executive over the whole building. That had called a hostile environment. Faculty and staff have been under tremendous pressure. And as for the guy that was tenure, there was a couple faculty that were tenure, and he brought that up to Dr. White, and he said he would talk to him afterward. And we even had the person that's over NASA, SEMA, to be let go. So this has really set the students back. I mean, the students are paying for an education, and we removed all those areas of service. People that are dedicated to Martin, some of them are alums, some of them applied and just want to come on board and just push students to do their very best. And we have let those students down. Yes, he did say he would possibly bring the student people back if they apply, but as long as those administrations are there, they're not going to let those people come back because there's some people have been rolled up. I mean, we even had someone that brought a gun, and the director of security did not address that. I mean, it's just a mess at Martin. And we say messy, it's called MUM, Martin University Mess. That's what they're saying, because people are really hurt. Faculty are hurt. Staff are hurt. I mean, it's really upsetting.
And we keep hearing this, and it ain't getting any better, it sounds like. Anyway, I appreciate it.
And the board members know. They know. They know this stuff has been going on. I mean, Dr. Miller was there a month ago talking about raising money. Alumni raised the money. But guess what? We didn't get to get the money to raise the $50,000 because they wouldn't even give it to us. We turned the money over, and they didn't even let us finish the thing out. And under Dr. Miller's administration, they never started a fundraiser. Because the advancement person is not qualified to do that.
All right, you made some great points. We're running up on a break. I appreciate it. 239-1310. We'll be back with our remaining moments after these. Let me go to Tia. Tia, you got about a minute.
Hi, Amos. My name is Tia Graham, and I am the student government president of Martin University.
Yes, ma'am.
I pulled over because my phone is blowing up. I heard part of the last caller. I will just share with you that what has taken place is we've had two town hall meetings since Dr. White has been our interim president. He did share with the student body that there would be some cuts. We were not made privy to where those cuts would take place. That information is correct. The other thing is the last caller is correct in that there have been complaints via the student body and the faculty and the staff members concerning our administration, and all this really hit the fan under Dr. Miller's administration. Complaints were also made to him. The biggest complaint with our administration is that our executive vice president, who is also the HR director, and our director of institutional advancement, who is also our IT person, that they have been running the school and essentially running the school down in the ground. That is the student body consensus. That information was also given to the Higher Learning Commission. And since then, a lot of people have taken a lot of slack. They've been threatened to lose their jobs, and the most of them who did complain on the behalf of the student body have lost their jobs. Those are the ones that have been terminated today. So I think what the student body's issue is that there was no strategic planning and how they got rid of these persons, that this is retaliation of sorts. That is what our issue, our concern is as a student body.
Tia, let me ask you, you're the president of the Student Government Association, is that correct?
Yes.
Let me ask you a couple of things. One, you mentioned a report that was done by the Commission on Higher Education. Do you know when that report was given to Martin University?
I don't know exactly when it was given. I do know that it was given. They said that they had it. We were told in one of the town hall meetings by the chairman of the board, I believe it was, that we would have access to that information. We haven't been given that yet.
Well, if that was the, well, it seemed to me, I got friends on the Commission for Higher Education. Abdul got better friends. I think we're going to try to get a hold of that.
We're going to try to see if we get a hold of that.
Get a hold of that report. Let me ask you, since you are the president of the student body, did you get any kind of heads up, either by email or text message or voice this morning, that this was going down from the administration?
know what was told to us by Dr. White in our town hall meeting.
But I'm talking. No, I'm not, not talking about the town hall meeting days ago. I'm talking about today. Just a heads up as the student.
Sir.
Okay. And for the record, since this is probably going to go on, probably will go on praiseindy.com, for those that missed it, what is your last name?
Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M.
Okay, because I want to give credit where credit is due, so no, I'm not just putting on the website Tia and not showing you the respect.
I know, Tia, I know we're up against the clock here, but one of the earlier callers said that they were willing to, students were willing to walk out and almost sort of shut down the school as a student leader, the duly elected president of the student body. Now, is that something you guys are looking at doing, or just all your options on the table?
As student leader, I will tell you that right now all of our options are on the table. We've been very clear what our stance is concerning our administration. I had a brief conversation with Dr. White. In all fairness, we have not had the chance to sit down and actually fully discuss. I am prepared to, as a student leader, go with the student body if something is not done concerning our administration. How can our IT person be the institutional advancement, the director of institutional advancement, if you can't do the IT? There's some issues with our website, so how do you justify, how can the board justify her being placed from one position that's not working and now into another position that's causing problems? They've caused a rather hostile work environment for faculty and staff. I know that because I was also a work study. So there's a lot of issues, and I need to sit down with the SGA and hear what their constituents are saying, and then we'll go from there.
And the conversations that you've had with Dr. White as president, how long have they been? Are they 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a 30-minute conversation?
They've just been 5-minute brief conversations. I did share with him as of recently that, you know, our biggest concerns are our main concern are those two individuals who have been at the helm of this mayhem.
I will say that I know Dr. White and former Governor Mitch Daniels never got along, but I know when African-American students raised some serious concerns about some problems at Purdue University, Mitch Daniels sat down with those students. It was definitely more than 5 minutes and talked with them substantively about their concerns and dealt with their concerns. I know at Indiana University, the top administrations have met with student leaders on a number of issues over the years. One of the hallmarks of universities has been the top administration of universities sitting down with student leaders in substantive meetings, and substantive is more than 5 minutes. So since I'm sure Dr. White is listening, it would seem to me that sooner rather than later, Monday morning, there needs to be
you guys need to get together and chat.
A substantive sit down with administration, with the chair of the board, so that they can clearly hear where you guys are coming from, and then you all can clearly hear where they're coming from. We'll have more.
Can you call us next Friday and let us know what happens?
Tia?
I think we lost her. But she's probably still listening. Hey, call us on Friday and let us know what happens.
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know. Father Harden is not pleased.
Eugene, you continue to be the gift that keeps on giving.
On that note, go Colts!